Hello, everybody. Stu Smith and Jeff Nichols here with the Tactical Fitness Report. And today we are going to discuss food. And notice I didn't say nutrition or a diet because, one, we are not nutritionists or dietitians. And two, we have some really good information that we'll put in the description below with links and, you know, who to follow on Instagram that are world class. I'll let Jeff go into some of that because he knows it. He turned me on to this one link in Australia that, in fact, I'll just go ahead and share it now for, you could talk a little bit about it, Jeff, yep, if you want.
Easy.
So this right here is, let me know when you see it.
Yeah, it's still populating. I'll let you know. Yeah, there we go. So it jumps in.
Yeah, so the Australian Sports Commission, which this is all free information, and this is some of the best stuff I've ever seen. It's up to date. It is it's bare bones, the facts, and there's no tricky stuff here. There's no fad diets in this one. You know, it is eating for nutrition and performance. And as a tactical athlete, we need to know every one of these links right here.
Yep. Yeah, so they're just kind of the genesis of this is, if you don't know, and most of the world doesn't, the AIS is the Australian Institute of Sport. By all, pretty much by my definition, a lot of other people that I respect and trust, as far as a facility, it's in Canberra, Australia, which is the capital of Australia. It's this amazing Disneyland of sports performance, not sports like, you know, recreation or whatever, but it has the world's best in every facet and under one roof. Now that you can go to like our U.S. Olympic training facility in Park City, ski and snowboard is amazing. Like, don't get me wrong, there's pieces of it, but for one facility that has pathology, that has sports science, that has all this stuff, the sleep and recovery in under one building, or so one campus really, it's there. And then the woman that is the, I guess, for lack of a better term, the best dietitian, the most published dietitian, the most respected dietitian, sports dietitian in the world. Her name is Louise Burke. And this is her information. And like Stu said, it's straight to the point. She is not this is geared 100% to performance. And what you might start thinking is like, well, wait a minute, like this stuff is really straightforward and simple. And that, but see, that's where the world has kind of thrown you guys a curveball. Like faddish stuff doesn't have sustainment, really good planning and programming and what biochemical, biological facts. That's what dietetics are. You can't just make it up. And she is the world's best at that. So that's her information.
Yeah. And it's awesome because you see there's everything from carbohydrates. You know, there's a lot of diets out there that say don't eat them. You know, and we're like, stop. You know,
I think one of her first, first fact sheet that you click on dietetics, it's going to say specifically how many you should be eating carbohydrates and a lot of them.
Right. Yes. Especially on performance side. And here's the deal, because once again, Jeff, and my favorite answer is it depends. And there's so many things here that it depends on what you need to eat. Right. And one is just what works for you. Just internally, you know, gastric tolerance, if you want to call it that. Two, what are your goals? Is it weight loss? Is it weight gain? Are you trying to eat, you know, foods that will help you perform better, you know, before an event, during the event, after event? How do you recover for that event? So, you know, for us to be able to say we're going to do a 30, 40 minute podcast on all of those things, and you guys walk out of here with all the knowledge you need would be ridiculous. You know, so you guys need to take a look at this website because it's right there. And what we're going to do is just talk about what we do, you know, because we are all experts in what we eat, right? Whether it's good or bad, we all have great habits or bad habits. And we're going to talk about the things that have helped us. And then just little other cues that you can gain from days that you have exceptional performance. You look back in your last 24 hours and figure out what you did. You know, what did you do right in the last 24 hours? How'd you sleep? What'd you eat? What'd you drink? How much work were you doing that day? You know, did you have a good recovery day prior to this great performance day? You know, things like that. So I find all of those kind of work together to make a better performance, whether it's a PST event or it's a tough day at Bud's event. You know, all those things come into play. So let's start it off, Jeff. We'll kind of keep this thing in a in an organized fashion of let's just talk about pre-workout meal ideas.
Yeah, I think the thing that to take a look at is a lot of times we get wrapped around what we eat, which is fine. That's not step one though. And that's what I've learned. I'm not making this stuff up. I'm trying to share you with you. And so Stu is we're byproducts of having good teachers. And one of my best teachers is a guy named Rob Skinner. And he is the head dietitian in the Olympic Training Center. And before that, he was at the command I was at. So really straightforward as well. He's the one that turned me on to Louise Burke. And the thing is we can't improve your eating until you're eating, right? So that's why we say don't skip meals. And then now into the pre-training, don't go into training now unless a dietitian is specifically saying, hey, we need to cut some calories back and whatever. But in the context of the tactical athlete that we're talking about, you typically don't want to go in empty stomach. Yeah. Like the race car doesn't start a race half empty or even half full. Right. Or even So thing for me, as I look at, okay, what are going to be the needs of the human body in this activity? And again, depends on what the activity is, but generally speaking for what we do, what we're having you all do, it's a lot of volume. Okay. There's some intensity in there. It's over duration. So we know that we need water. We need some fat. We need a spectrum, in my opinion, of carbohydrates, which is like, you know, one of my breakfasts in the morning, it's oatmeal, quick oats. And I use baby rice, rice flour, rice cereal, rather, a little bit of peanut butter, a little bit of protein, and I use some frozen bananas. And that gives me this spectrum of sugar. It gives me a spectrum of carbohydrates from simple all the way to complex, from simple being the fruit, and then it goes into the rice, and then a little glycemic index-wise, and then it goes all the way to the oats, which is slow digesting. It gives me some fat and the peanut butter. Okay, and it also, I use Thorn protein, which is just straight protein. There's no sugar to it, really. So what I'm trying to do, and then I'm adding water to it. Boom, exactly.
Thorn protein, there you go.
Exactly. So we want a spectrum of nutrients, because when you're talking about speed, power, volume, all those sort of things that is necessary for the tactical athlete and the training of it, I'm a big fan of the ketogenic diet in certain regards. But just what my point is, before we start going down the road of like, you need to do this meal plan and this meal plan, we can't do that until we know that we've got this holistic approach to food.
Right.
So pre-workout for me is my pre-workout, pre-training is, I've standardized it because I found out what works for me. And what works for me actually isn't oatmeal. It's a little aggressive on my stomach because it takes so long. So a friend of mine suggested, hey, why don't you go to the Gerber rice cereal. It's really easy on the stomach. It's pretty high glycemic. Add some water to it, some protein to it. Boom. Now, if I want to add a little bit of caffeine, I might take a caffeine tablet of 200 milligrams, or add Strikeforce, whatever it is, liquid caffeine. And that's my pre-workout. I tend to, instead of just saying I have nothing against pre-workouts, but in those pre-workouts, it's a scoop of stimulants. That scoop of stimulants isn't giving me the high glycemic carbohydrates I want, and a little bit of protein, and some of the even slower glycemic carbohydrates. It's just giving you stimulants.
Right. And it can put you in that anaerobic zone before you even starting.
Absolutely.
Exercise.
Because when you're talking about stimulants, you're talking about O2 consumption and hydrogen buffering. Now that's why they put beta alanine in it. But at the end of the day, what you're doing is what goes into your body has got to help ATP to create true sustainable energy. And if you're omitting your carbohydrates, proteins, and fats as a fuel source, it's going to get it from somewhere else, and that's called catabolism.
Yeah. You're basically going to break down your muscle mass for food.
Correct. Yeah. And that's what we're trying to avoid. So what we do is we look at really honest dietetics and go, hey, now what works for me, as Stu said, may or may not at all work for you. But what I kind of do is I try to simplify it as much as I can as a starting point and go, well, people are like, using baby food? I'm like, yeah, it's really gentle on a baby stomach. If it's gentle on a baby stomach, it's in my stomach and I'm going to do some intense workouts, the likelihood of me being able to handle is high.
Yeah.
So, but that's the thing, is it's going to take some experimentation on your side. And also the second biggest reason why I use that is because it's two things. It's inexpensive and it's readily available.
Yeah.
Right. And it's, what I mean is, you know, I could be really complex and make this really complex shake and this meal, which it sometimes I do a lot of meal prep, at times when I need it, but like we all know, in a very, very dynamic, ever-changing tactical world space, is time is money. Not a little bit. Time is very critical. And we want to give you guys an idea, go, hey, I know a lot of bodybuilders. And again, I use that as an example as bodybuilders because they're under such a crunch for calories, like just constant consumption. And there's things I glean from those worlds. So the tactical space, I mean, I know a number of people, a number of tactical athletes, police officers specifically, that eat baby food just to get a quick calorie, right?
Yeah. I mean, I love that bananas, like the banana baby food.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I still love this.
It's so readily available calories, you know, and that's like, you're like, you gotta be kidding me. Well, think about this, folks. Muscle milk started as baby formula.
Yeah.
That's how it got its start. It was baby formula, I believe. Yeah. And as far as the manufacturing was, and there a lot of bodybuilders in the 80s, the only way they could get a high protein source and powder that was transported was baby formula. Right. And so now there's a market for it. And now we all know the market is a, you know, multi-billion dollar organization market. So, but again, what we want to do is we want to shy away from supplements. I do, you know, because I know if I'm eating baby food, for example, or fruit, or again, you could just walk through the grocery store, basically peanut butter, all those sort of things.
It's meats, eggs.
Yep.
You know, whatever type of protein you need, nuts.
Yeah. You know, all those sort of things. And that's what we're trying to get you guys to think is what we're trying to do is, excuse me, is right. Even given tactical time, we're really busy outside of, it's like really crazy stuff. Like you're spend 2 days putting out a fire or something, but we're just trying to get you to the next meal because we know that there's going to be meals, but what we don't know is how long in between the meals a lot of times in a tactical space,
right,
especially for police officers and military and so forth, is like, I don't know when I'm going to get my next meal, but if you can plan on having some snacks, right, then we can get to your meal. We really can eat. And also too, what we do is we avoid, if we have good quality snacks, what we avoid is just like, man, I'm just going to go crush this pizza, but I know I have to work out later, and now I've got terrible heart. That's me. I don't eat a lot of pizza because it gives me really bad heartburn. I love pizza.
Yeah.
But it's pepperoni, my off
kills
day.
Me. Pepperoni
it
kills me.
It gives me the worst heartburn. Yeah. So
same.
And I won't train if I eat pizza and stuff like that. It just doesn't suit me at all. But anyways, so that's, I want you guys to start thinking more on the lines of, not just now when I've done this before too, I have used a pre-workout. But I will add to that pre-workout, I'll add the rice cereal.
Yeah.
So I'm actually getting a stimulant, which is why I add Strikeforce to it, because it's just straight caffeine.
Right.
But if you like, whatever brand, like C4, I don't know what pre-workout's out there anymore. I don't know. But, it, you know, you mix it in X water. If you take a quarter cup serving of rice cereal, put it in there, and then your pre-workout, add the water, boom. Now you've got the stimulants, but you also now have the carbohydrates and sugar to back it up.
Yeah. Agreed. Yeah. That's a good mix. You know, some people say, you know, you don't need caffeine. I'm not one of those people. I personally have caffeine. In fact, when you see me sipping things like this,
same, yeah.
This is unsweet tea, right? No sugar, just unsweet tea that I make myself. And then I do have this one thing I like, this V8 energy yep. drink. This yeah, is pretty yeah. good. There's 80 kilograms of or milligrams of caffeine, but it's from green tea and fruits and vegetables, not many calories. So it's kind of lower on the sugar side as well. So
yep.
anyway, so whenever I'll make this real quick on my side, when we're talking about the pre stuff, I usually my first workout is at 6 a.m. 5 days a week. And then on 8 a.m. on Saturdays, usually. And I'll usually wake up at 5:30, grab just a little bit, something to drink with a little bit of sugar in it. Sometimes it's a Gatorade, sometimes it's a juice. Not a whole one, just some sips. And then I'll have a little bit of protein. Sometimes it's a little bit of leftover from last night's dinner. Might be a piece of steak, might be a boiled egg. Typically I kind of go light, just depends on what I'm doing. If I'm doing a lot of running, I'll probably just keep it real light and just keep some water and, something with some electrolytes in it, 'cause I know I'm going to sweat my butt off here in the summer. But like I said, you have to find out what works for you. I just had a guy who emailed me today, said that he just had his best day ever. He just turned 50 years old. He did 20 pull-ups, did 90-something push-ups, 89 sit-ups, and ran his mile and a half in like 10 minutes flat, and he's 50 years old. You know, he goes, this is my best ever. I've never done this, even when I was 20 years old in ROTC. You know, he's never done anything like that. So I said, here's what you need to do now. Take a look at your last 24 hours. Write everything down, because you have yourself a pretty good formula that you can associate with your top performance, right? And that does a couple things to you. One, it's an actual physical record of, you know, what you ate, how you slept, what you did that day, what you did the day before. But it's also a little mental helper too. You've got these little performance cue now that you give that whole thing a name. Whatever it is, give it a name, like, you know, kick-ass day or whatever. You know, you got that little performance cue that you can say to yourself right before you're going into this thing. And once again, I'm not a psychologist. I'm not giving out psychological advice. This is just sports psychology 101, talking about performance cues, and we all do them. You know, whether you're getting up to bat or you're about to shoot that free throw, you say something to yourself, that's a performance cue. This is all that is. You're just yep. You're just tying it into a record of what you did in those 24 hours, and it puts it all together, a nice, easy package. And it's something that you can go back to, and when you got to perform again, you can call that up and relive that whole day.
Yep. Yeah, that's the beauty of, and you'll see this. This is going to be very reminiscent, I know, for you, Stu, of like dive phase. Like when you do dive workups, you go, well, you keep a log of all your diving. Like, hey, the water was X temperature, so I wore this wetsuit, and it was good or bad. So we go, you know, maybe you don't dive for 6 or 8 months. Or, well, you have a bunch of older team guys that have dove in cold water, like Northern Washington. And they go, well, they look at theirs and go, well, last time I did this, I wore a 7 mil, boom, boom, boom. And they just keep a log of their experience. Yep. And so that way you don't have to keep relearning.
Yeah.
Or experiencing bad. And the same thing is, a simple journal goes a long, long way as a reference, but it fits right into human nature. And we're to keep, that's what we're talking about. At the end of the day, we're talking about routine.
Yes.
A consistent, reliable, reproducible, predictable routine.
Yeah.
And then the one that can be taught. And that's the beauty of it, is that when your body does that, you see, you rarely hit plateaus relevant to what you're trying to do. You're like, I may never squat, you know, 1,000 pounds. I'm not going to. But the idea of me being 60 years old and go, well, relative to how I feel right now, I can continue to meet milestones. And in the tactical space, longevity is key. And if we can get you guys keep hitting those really, holistic milestones, you're going to have a much better work life for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing you have to remember is you're going to be older in this job than you are younger. You know, if you make it a long-term career, especially, you know, police and firefighters, you know, I mean, there's guys that are fighting fires well into their late 50s. you know, and still out there on the fire ground too. So
I sat next to a four-star general the other day. It was at a brain conference I was presenting at, and just for something, I was thinking he must have retired years ago. He just retired 4 years prior, and he spent 40 years in the Army. 40 years. I know one of the team guys that just retired, a friend of mine, 37, SEAL for 37 years.
Wow.
And so, and you see that a lot in our, that's the difference. That's one of the big difference between sport and the tactical population. The expectation is for that SEAL that's been in the teams 37 years, he was still operational. That's the difference too, is you see that, especially in the special forces communities, you know, your command sergeant majors all the way to your master chiefs, warrant officer, W045s. I mean, when I went on missions, I mean, we had master chiefs on target with us that had been in the teams 20 plus years already. And so my point is that they had to perform at the expected level to complete that mission.
Right.
And then I think that's where we go, but where Stu and I are saying, hey, if you're programming well, if you're recovering and sleeping well, and then on this piece, if your dietetics are also have a routine, we can get that on the back end.
Yes.
So yes. Now, again, the mindset of most tactical athletes, we can beat the hell out of ourselves for years and years and years and still do that. But at some point we go, man, there's just too much wear and tear in our body. We can do a better job. And that's Stu and I's focus, is to get you guys to start thinking a little bit bigger picture.
Yeah, not only are we want you to start thinking, is that link that I just showed you, in fact, it's down in the description. I want you to go through all those hyperlinks on that page of the fact sheets, because it's everything from carbohydrates and protein and recovery, you know, alcohol, you know, you name it, it's in there. And plus there's great meal plans in there. They got a whole thing of recipes.
Yeah.
It's incredible. So, you know, give yourself a couple hours and go through that page, and you will learn some great ideas that are world-class recommendations for you. So, you know, for us, like I said, we're just going to walk through what we eat. You know? Yeah. So how about after a workout? What is the thing that you do?
Yeah, for me, I think it's really simple. It's not too unlike my pre-workout. But what I'm doing is, when I'm done training, I'm looking for my next meal. But probably like most of you, I can't, like, you know, last night we grilled hamburgers and had a ton of spinach. My son and I just boiled some, like, loves, he lo- we and I both love, like a huge bag of spinach turns into like this much spinach when you boil it down, like you steam it.
Yeah, yeah.
But my point is like that, I knew I was eating that, but I wasn't going to eat that 30 minutes or something. My stomach wasn't, because when we train, blood leaves the areas of damage, basically. It leaves our stomach, and that's why a lot of times you don't have to go to the bathroom or whatever. Like, you don't have the urge. You're not even hungry when we train.
Yeah.
Unless you've done it long enough, but then that blood leaves the stomach, goes to the muscles, because that's what's moving. But when you get done training, it stays, the blood stays, and that's why we have the pump. It stays in the muscles for a while. But when that blood starts leaving those muscles, what's it got to do? It's got to go, we got to repair. So that blood goes to the stomach, and it's looking for something to help repair. That's why we do immediately, for me, I do my protein immediately, and I add a little bit more of rice cereal, because it's super high glycemic.
Yep.
And then what it does, that allows me to bring my body temperature back down, tend to the animals, or my son or myself have some things to do. I sit around, I cool, chill out, or I do dishes, whatever, do something, just waiting for my body temperature to come down. And then I go to my meal, then I make my dinner and whatnot. So it's really simple. It's get a fuel source to get you to the next meal. And yes, for me, it's protein, and it's a simple carbohydrate.
And you have to start thinking too, is what you are eating after that workout is preparing you for your next workout. Whether that workout is later in the day or it's the next morning, doesn't really matter. Your preparation starts right there, especially if you have a good workout and you've just spent all you got, right? And you really need to repair and refuel for the next day. And the combination of adding some carbohydrate with a protein just helps the muscle just suck it in even better. And yeah, you know, there's always been some debate on what that opportunity window is. But it's a 24-hour window, you know, but, you know, yeah, you need to do that as soon as possible, you know, but does it hurt you if you miss an hour? Maybe not. You know, there's still some, you know, some studies out there that are kind of disproving that you need it within an hour or you're not going to reap any benefits from it.
Well, that's the other side of eating before I train as well, is because I know that they call it a catabolic window.
Yeah.
When you get done training, the fact is this, when you're done training, at some point you should eat.
Yes.
The duration and frequency and whatever, how often. So for me, I just go, well, let me ensure that I don't run into a catabolic window. Right. Or you'll say anabolic, you have an anabolic window. I call it a catabolic window. Just eat something, right, that allows your stomach to settle. Right. Cause a lot of times too, and we've all been there, like we're in a hurry. So I gotta train. I know I need to get to work or get across town, but I know I need to eat. So you try to eat and you're like, ugh, my appetite's shot. You don't get the calories that you really need because your stomach is still like, hey, whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm still working on these muscle things, right? I'm not ready to digest all this food. So, you know, but in Buds, for example, and I know it's the same thing, and, you know, Ranger School and SFAS, all those sort of things, it's like, you're going to eat or you don't. Yeah. If you don't, it's going to suck.
Yeah.
So there is that kind of, we kind of want to get you guys to start eating a little bit before and a little bit after to get used to it. That's a good habit to get in my belief. And also in the work life, when that carries over into active duty time, it's like you're sitting there eating, boom, flag, the, you know, the balloon goes up, you got to go on your mission, right? Yeah. You get back when you get back. And if you get back, you got to eat because the cafeteria in overseas isn't going to be at your beck and call.
Right. You know what? That's a good point that you brought up there, because, you know, at Buds, you have the opportunity to eat every 6 hours, right? And that's a great thing, because you're putting out on such a high level that you're going to burn those calories no matter what you bring in. I mean, I rarely see people gain a lot of weight at Buds. Every now and though, it does happen, especially if you're a skinny kid and you got a lot of mass that you can put on with all this activity, and you're eating your ass off.
Yeah.
Right. And that does help. But the guys that are going through Ranger School, where you're only afforded what, an MRE, maybe
they upped it to two.
Two MREs a day. Yeah. Because, I mean, you spend 6 months trying to recover from that gut check.
Yeah. That's been a debate. If there are any Rangers listening, please, in the comments box, I'd love to hear kind of how it is now. I know, I'm trying to paraphrasing. I don't remember the exact conversation with the Ranger I had. Is I know it's at two MREs, but when they do their land nav portion, I think in Florida, that's when it's pretty limited in the resources. I think when they're in the field and places, they do have, I think, the Mermite meals come in and maybe an MRE or two a day.
Right.
It's just for that period of time. That's like, there's like a 10 or 14 day trip where they're down in Eglin. They're doing all their land nav portions where it's just two MREs a day and they're covering a ton of ground.
Oh yeah. So up 20 hours a day, pretty much with a backpack on.
I'd love to hear if there's any Rangers to kind of just simply lay it out for the folks. Cause I certainly don't want to disrespect and misquote what you guys are doing.
Yeah, but you know that's one of those gut checks you have to prepare for. But I don't necessarily recommend preparing for something like that by not eating.
Agreed.
You know,
because that system's going to take care of itself. We want you to go in as strong and as healthy as possible, because we know reality is Buds isn't the most healthy thing to do.
Uh-uh.
Right? Nor is Rangers. It's just, but that's the beautiful historical nature of that selection program, is it sucks. It's supposed to.
Yeah, it's a test.
Yep.
It's a test. How much do you want to be a part of that community? Yep. All right. So, in fact, I would even recommend going in a little bit heavy. You know, have some extra bulk on muscle mass, as well as some extra fat, just to, because you're going to lose 20 pounds.
Yeah, for sure.
Probably at a minimum. So next, once again, your pre-workout really kind of depends on what you're doing. You know, sometimes if I'm going on a nice steady run, I won't have anything but a glass of unsweet tea and just go, you know, because it's, I really don't need a whole lot, you know, to do that. And I'm probably going to be burning fat anyway real quick.
You can do that too because you're going to refuel.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You got to definitely eat right afterwards. Yeah. So post-workout meals, how about, you know, we mentioned a little bit about supplements in there. I'm not going to get too big into the adding supplements, but if you take a look at some of these links, there's a great supplement section in there as well as, you know, ideas. So, you know, your food, you don't need to add in the supplements, you know, it's all there right. for you. But like I said, it really just depends on what you're doing and what your minimum standard is for needing supplements. Some people it's just whey protein. Some people like to go a little bit more. And, you know, Jeff turned me on to Thorne, and I'm really digging their multivitamins and their GABA and, you know, all the different magnesium and other electrolytes that they're offering that really has been helping. So I'll put a link into that them as well. Maybe we'll do something on Thorne because why do you choose Thorne? So why do you choose this one?
Yeah. I mean, again, that goes back to really simply is that, you know, there's a lot of good supplements out there, but a company that fits under one umbrella that I trust, again, goes back to Rob Skinner, who's a head dietitian at the Olympic Training Center, was at the Command where I was at. Thorne is all NSF. And I actually have a Thorne packet right here. So NSF, if it has that stamp, it is guaranteed to have no impurities, no cross-contamination, and no banned substances. That's a third-party test that basically is it's worldwide.
Yeah, and that's critical. That's critical for what you put in your body.
Yep, and that's so you know it's on the – because a lot of times, you know, FDA doesn't regulate with supplements. Yeah. But if it has that NSF, it is 100% guaranteed that what's on the label is in quantity is in the product. And it, Thorne is the only supplement company that has ever been endorsed by the U.S. Olympic Training Center, ever.
Yeah, that's
and,
big.
And so also Thorne is recognized by anything with NSF. So like if you go in the SOCOM world, SOCOM right now, and specifically JSOC and others, is they the dietitians that are at the facilities, they are only allowed to recommend NSF products. So it gives you, it already puts you in that wheelhouse of what now, like at Buds, it's our understanding. It's my understanding that it's a zero tolerance even for supplements just because it's, that's for you guys to figure out in those selection courses. But we're really kind of talking about just training and so forth right now. So for me, it's easy. I want a product that I know is what I'm putting my money into, that it's real.
Yeah. Okay. And pure.
And pure, and I know that I can trust them because I know the folks that are developing it and making it. It's a pharmaceutical company out of Idaho that makes it.
Yeah, I have found some good protein sources out there. One, they used to make baby formula, and then you know that is regulated heavily by the FDA.
Yeah.
And then that they use that same protein to make their whey protein.
So let me give you guys one thing. So here's the poor man's protein. Like, and I was broke. I've been broke, really broke before, especially in college. You can go to any grocery store because this one I'm talking about. Stuart already said it. It's a food. Yep. You can get powdered milk, and then you go to the dessert section where they can you can buy Hershey's cocoa. Mix Hershey's cocoa and powdered baby, like powdered milk. And it comes in a big 10-pound bag for like $2.
Yeah. That's a
just
good
mix them together.
Source. Good.
There you go. Source. You got milk. You got chocolate milk. Yeah. And there's no added sugar. It's food. So again, that's basically what a good product has been is just refined. And now that's what supplements are so because they're readily accessible, but again, there's a lot. Ask us questions in the comments and we can kind of direct you as needed.
Yes. I'll put links into those recommended companies as well. So how about this one? Weight loss. You know, some of us have to lose weight. You know, when I was younger, preferred to lose weight not by eating less, but just by doing more. As I have aged, I've realized that I can no longer outwork my diet. So I actually have to just eat less. I eat a pretty clean diet. You know, I don't eat a lot of sugar. You know, the carbs that I eat are typically fruit and vegetables, maybe some grains and breads and in there. But, you know, not a fan of eating less or eating sugar, but eating less has been the challenge because, you know, you build up these habits when you're a teenager of eating a horse, and then you build up more habits when you're in your 20s and you're going through hardcore training. You still eat like a horse. You can still eat like a horse and it doesn't really matter. And then those habits take you into your 30s, take you into your 40s. And then while you're 45, you're wondering why you're 45, 50 pounds overweight.
Yeah.
So it just,
yeah,
it just
didn't change. Yeah. And that's where I feel like I'm starting to get at, like a piece of the really good advice that is common in the sports dietetics world is you can't out-train your fork. And that's, you know, I'll staff my soapbox, but it's about being sensible. And, you know, you're going to create some habits when you go through selection that are like the amount of food that you can put away in Buds is egregious.
Yeah.
It's silly how many calories you can put down in a day. Like I remember my weekends. I was like, I would just eat and eat and eat. Yeah. And
I mean, 10,000 calories. I mean, you could be in that ballpark real easy.
It's bananas. Yeah. So now though, it just becomes about, for me, I look at it differently now. What I look at is not necessarily building muscle in terms of growth. I look at what's optimal for me to repair myself.
Yes.
And that's it. And then I kind of look at it almost like a wrestler who's not cutting weight. You know, at that weight class, how do we express ourselves most optimally in strength and power and endurance? We really have to optimize that whatever muscle mass that we have. And the best way to do that is really take care of the calories that are coming in. Now, that's also not to say that, like, if I want to eat something that's really delicious, I'm going to do it.
Yes.
And that's because I can train. I know I'm going to keep training, but we're not saying food exclusion. No. We're just saying a little bit of portion control probably.
Yeah.
And then the smaller plates. Nutrient timing.
Yeah. You use smaller plates. You know, I mean, I don't know about you, but you know, some of these plates are gigantic. You know, if you're going to fill that up with a meal, you know, you're going to put in a lot of calories, you know, cut that thing in half. You eat your main meal on a salad plate.
Yeah.
And
what we're really good at here in the United States, and not just the United States, a lot of Western culture worlds is we eat till we're full.
Yeah.
Like, no kidding. Oh my God. I can't, you just go out and you watch people just like, oh my, I've eaten. Like I stopped doing that. I eat till I'm satiated, not till I'm like stuffed.
Yeah. And it just doesn't feel good either. You know, after a while, I mean, I've done it many, many times and I just remember feeling like crap for the next 2 or 3 hours while I'm immobile and just trying to, you know, just basically just want to go to sleep.
And then here's my
prandial narcolepsy.
This is Jeff Nichols' opinion. So just to be super clear on this, so I look at things like people that are gluten intolerant. Now, I totally see where they're coming from, where a lot of people think they're gluten intolerant. Like even for me, like pizza is a big one. That crust, doesn't matter what pizza crust it is, how refined it is, it gets to me, right? If I eat a lot of cereal, wheat cereal, it gets to me because it's so refined and it's not very nutrient dense a lot of times. But if I eat refined wheats occasionally, like wheat pasta here and do this, but if all I'm doing is eating refined carbohydrates, my stomach tells me. So I get most people that say they're gluten insensitive or they're not. What they are is they're shitty food insensitive and a lot of it, like really refined everything.
Yeah.
And, but that's the nature of, unfortunately, kind of where the grocery store sits. I want it. It's in a box. It's in a freezer. Eat it and go. And for me, it's about food preparation now. Again, I really, and my son too, he's awesome. He eats as much as I do. It's about eating a lot of vegetables for me.
Yes.
That fills me up, satiates me, but I know I'm getting the nutrients and the fiber on the backside that I need.
Yeah. My go-to vegetables. How about this one? Green lettuce or romaine lettuce, spinach, and broccoli.
Yeah,
those are my three big ones, and then I also like sprinkling in some strawberries or blueberries in with that because I'll just make a big salad with that.
Yeah,
and also asparagus. We'll do asparagus too. But
yeah, those are my three favorite green beans, asparagus, and spinach.
Yeah.
Those are my, but I really like sweet potatoes and yams. Yeah. Plain. I like them just totally plain.
Oh yeah. We do sweet potatoes too. Yeah.
So I'm a big fan of that. I like red potatoes, but what I'll do is I'll just kind of like smash them and like throw them on a grill.
Yep. Same.
Like kind of boil them down and smash them. So they're kind of like crispy, but chewy.
Yep.
But I've always been the type of person that I've always liked the taste of food. Yes. I don't season my food much at all. I do with olive oil and pepper and stuff like that, but I just really like the taste of food as it is, not with a bunch of, like, I don't like Italian food. It's just, to me, it's just too much creamy. Seasoning for me.
Yeah. Too creamy.
Right. I don't like Greek food. It's too, my favorite genre of food is Thai, Cambodian, or Vietnamese, because nobody does vegetables better than that. Those folks, it's hot. I mean, it's fresh vegetables cooked very, very fast.
Yeah.
They're crispy. They're fresh.
Yeah,
that's why I love. I mean, if you ever get a chance,
Thailand,
the Philippines, and places. Oh man, that food is awesome.
Yeah,
so
good point.
Anyways, that's kind of my go-to is a lot of veggies too.
Yeah. So, and you notice what they are? Those are carbs,
mm-hmm.
right? People, yeah,
they are.
Yeah, you know, there are some people that don't eat carbs, and I think it's fine to not eat refined carbohydrates, sugars, refined sugars, right? But you're missing out on a lot of nutrient rich foods if you are one of these no carbohydrate eaters.
Yeah, especially right. In this environment.
Yeah. And your brain works off carbs. You know, it makes glycogen. Sugar. And yeah. You know, I mean,
it's gonna convert it. You know, no matter what you eat, your body's gonna convert glycogen. It's just what we want to do is not make the body work harder than it needs to when it's stressed out.
Right.
It's probably happened, but I would venture to say it's probably likely not ever happen. I don't know. That someone that's in a ketogenic diet has gone through BUDS successfully?
I don't know.
It's a total guess. Not very likely. It's also not very likely that a vegan has made it through either. And it's nothing against vegan. It's just the thing is when you're in that high stress environment, your body wants, it needs sugar. Yeah. And it's going to get it. It's going to try to convert it. But we don't want to, like I said, make the body work harder to convert something that's not sugar-based through the Krebs cycle and convert it to glycogen.
Right.
It's work.
Yeah. Right? It also needs those proteins too, full of all the amino acids, because that amino acids is going
it's missing,
to help
you rebuild. Plants are missing nutrient. Plant protein is not, it's not essential.
Right.
In the sense of something is considered an essential food. It's got to have the four primary amino acids, leucine, isoleucine, valine, and glutamine. Vegetables, there are no proteins or vegetable proteins that have all of them.
Right.
Right. They have some of them, but not all of them to make a complete protein.
Right.
So only animal sources. And that's, again, it's not a knock on vegans at all, but it's just one of those things. We're talking, Stu and I are trying to box up this high performance model in the selection course in our military, which is the highest demanding.
Yes.
We're talking about them all, not just BUDS.
Yep.
They're all the most demanding as compared to life and sport.
Yeah. That's why I like boiled eggs in the morning, because I can eat a boiled egg, and that's got, so they say it's the complete food.
It is. So if you look at the back of something that has nutrition facts, the daily value allowance, the DV for protein is the egg.
Yeah.
It's based off the egg. Nice. So it's again, one of those things where you're like, huh. And It's when you start understanding the history of stuff, it's like I have an affinity for history in general, and I start looking at history and I go, oh, things start making sense today. So we spend so much time training. We spend so much time taking our supplements. Well, let's understand what's going in our body and what this stuff all means, even in just a little bit. You know, we don't have to be expert at it, but being an educated individual on what you're putting in your body, know what's going in your body.
Yeah. Know what's going on in your body. And unfortunately, there is some trial and error involved with this. I mean, you're going to find things that, hey, I'm going to try this, and it doesn't work for you, right? Yeah. It makes you sick, or you throw up after a hard run or something because it just didn't agree with you.
Yeah.
You know, but you're going to find things that work, and you're going to find things that you can associate with top-level performance, and you need to keep doing those. You know, if they're working for you, do it.
And here's my last piece is this, is someone, I put it in context of like, I front squat with all of my athletes, and they're like, this hurts. I should have said, but now I don't even do it. I just go, all right, guys, today we're in front squat. And it's going to hurt for the rest of your life. It's always going to be uncomfortable. And so what I say is not to hurt somebody, but it's just that position is hard to hold for an extended period of time. So in the same thing of dietetics, if every single meal you eat is based on enjoyment, you're probably missing some of the nutrients that you need. Now, I'm not saying that everything you eat has to be taste bad, but we got to understand that there is going to be a sacrifice. There should be a sacrifice in sports dietetics sometimes to fuel. Okay. Like when I get off here, I have one more meal to eat for my late morning snack. Is it going to taste good? No. But do I need it for my training that I do later? Yes. Like now that's something, you know, my dinner tonight's going to be great. I have grass fed sirloin, right? I'll have some green beans, but I need fuel. And if you're going into every meal, like, I want it to taste good. Well, sometimes something that's efficient, holistic, and necessary might not taste all that good.
Yeah.
Not that it's going to taste bad, but it's just kind of like I'm going to have a packet of salmon, right? And some other stuff that's just, I don't even chew it. I just swallow it now.
Yeah. So yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. You know, as a writer, I tend to write about things that people ask me about because I'm curious. You know, I'm curious when people ask me about the zone diet, the paleo diet, ketogenic diets. You know, I'm curious about what happens in those things. And, you know, they obviously work, you know, people are losing weight on them, but you know, in the end, how are they working? Are they working just simply because you're eating fewer carbohydrates, eating fewer crappier carbohydrates?
Yeah.
Or are they working just simply because you're eating fewer calories and you also added exercise into the equation, right? Yeah. So it's, you know, a lot of times, you know, these things are ideas, you know, there's nothing wrong with them. However, you know, they tend to work temporarily. And you know, you got to get back on a regular cycle of really, it comes down to it. And if you read through some of this, stuff from Australia, which the link's down there, you'll see it really comes down to your calories that you bring in and the calories that you burn off at the end of the day. Is that what it comes to? And yes, sure, your body handles different macronutrients differently. You know, it's going to handle 500 grams of or 50 grams of protein differently than it handles 50 grams of carbohydrates. Right. And there's different calorie values to both of those as well. But yeah, at the same time, you know, in the end, it really does come to, you know, your portion control. If you're trying to lose weight, if you're trying to gain weight, same thing. You just got to eat more. You know, there's a saying that we always used to use. If you're going to be big, you got to eat big.
Yeah.
And lift big.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, that helps.
The thing too is you want to be healthy. Like we talked about pre-workout, we got post-workout. We're saying not skip meals. The last piece I think is don't go to bed hungry.
Ah.
Yeah, but again, I'll not say, let's be really clear. Again, that is probably going to be one of those meals that you're eating for purpose, not for flavor.
Yeah.
Okay. Cottage, like I'm not a big fan of Greek plain. I'm talking plain.
Yeah, plain Greek yogurt.
Like it's bitter and it's sour.
Good though,
but I'm telling you, good, like source. That is a great source of protein and calories pre-bed.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm not saying, again, I'm not, oh, Jeff and Stu told me to go to McDonald's and have three cheese. No, not before you go to bed.
Yeah.
Right. We're talking about slow release proteins and carbohydrates while your body repairs itself.
Yeah.
That's called sleep.
Yeah.
So that's my lot. Don't go to bed hungry.
Yeah, that's a good one.
When you're training, I'm talking when you're, okay, we're talking about the people that are training really, really hard every day.
Yes.
Right? That is the best, one of the best times to refuel. Or that is the best time to heal yourself is during sleep. Yes. If you're going to that healing process with some slow digesting macronutrients in your stomach, right?
Yep.
You're set up for success as soon as you wake up.
Yeah. If you're trying to lose weight, you definitely don't want to go to bed full.
Yeah.
You know, but right? You know, it's hard to go to sleep hungry. It really is. Your stomach.
Think about for babies, for those of you that are parents or like have younger siblings, like mom or dad bottle fed them or breastfed them or gave them some food right before there was bedtime.
Yeah.
Right. That help gives a positive lethargy that heals, you know, even I'm not even talking just body, brain function, an improvement of cognition happens pretty much only, as far as I understand, during sleep.
That's when how I understand it as well. Yeah, so
for sure.
Yeah. All right. So like I said, eat, sleep, train, you know, all of those come into play with this one. And, you know, like I said, we are not nutritionists or dietitians, but take a look at the links in there at people who are. And give yourself a couple of hours and go through all these links. I'm telling you will be smarter for doing so. Yeah. I did that. Jeff showed me these things last night, and I went on it. I spent about 2 hours going through all these links and checking them out, and it makes a big difference.
They're super valuable because that's the thing that sucks about online stuff is you click it, and you're just like, oh, this is somebody trying to sell their
– Right.
Louise is not selling anything.
Yep. No this ads.
This is just straight factual information that is you can use right away.
Yeah, I love it. All right, with that, Jeff, thanks again. This is a good one.
Always. Sounds good. We'll do it again.
I wasn't sure how long we would be able to go on nutrition since we're not nutritionists, but hey.
It's guidance. We're trying to give you guys guidance here.
Yeah, check this stuff out. Just like we made recommendations of going to the National Strength and Conditioning Association, go to these links and check those out. They're really smart people that make this stuff, and it's not magic. You know,
he may hate me for saying this, but not really. So his name is Rob Skinner on Instagram. His handle is Fueling Athletes. He is our country's best dietitian. He's actually in Budapest with the judo team, I believe. But that guy, man, and he is happy to help out. So if you have questions, he may hate me, but that's his job, like for the U.S. Olympic Training Center. He's brilliant. And same thing with Louise, where she's got all this stuff. Rob has volumes of this stuff on his hard drive of send people.
Right. So, I'll put his link in there in perfect. The description as well.
He's the man.
Yeah. So that's awesome. All right. Thanks again, Jeff.
All right. We'll see you again soon.
We'll see you.